The Silk Road Widow by Dorothea O. Coleridge. Read by Gerald Foss. Here we go. Prologue. The man's hand closed around the boy's wrist like a trap. Listen. The word came out wet, sand already crusting the corners of his mouth. Listen to me, camel boy. You take this. He pressed something into the boy's palm. Hard. Sharp-edged. A piece of bone carved into a crescent, warm from his grip. The boy tried to pull away, but the dying man held on with a strength that didn't belong to someone whose ribs showed through his torn robe. I don't. You take it to Chang'an? The man coughed. Blood sprayed across the boy's sleeve, dark and thick, already drying in the wind. Fine to the street of bronze bells. Number 7. Ask for Madame Jia. Tell her. Another cough, this one doubling him over. The sandstorm had swallowed the rest of the caravan an hour ago, maybe two. And the boy had lost count, lost the sky. Lost everything but this stranger who'd crawled out of the white wall of grit and grabbed him. Tell her what? The boy's voice cracked. He was 10, maybe 11, and he'd forgotten his own name 3 days ago when the first storm hit and the camels bolted and the merchant he served became a dark shape swallowed by swirling beige. Tell her. The man's eyes rolled. His grip loosened, then tightened again. For Mingyur. Say it. Say it. For Mingyur. The ghost gate. The man's fingers dug into the boy's wrist hard enough to bruise. Tell her the ghost gate is real, and Gao Zhao knows. Tell her. His body convulsed. Sand filled his open mouth. He choked, spat, and the wind took the spit before it hit ground. The boy tried to stand. The toggle bit into his palm, so he shoved it into his sash, into the fold where he kept the handful of dried dates he'd been hoarding since the second day. The man grabbed his ankle. Don't let them take it. His voice had gone thin, reedy, the voice of a man whose lungs were filling with grit. The seal. It's the seal. Don't let Gao Zhong. Who is Gao Zhong? The boy had to scream it because the wind had risen to a howl and the sand was no longer just stinging, but drawing blood from his cheeks. His lips, the backs of his hands. The man's answer was lost. The storm took his words, his breath, his final rattle, and his hand fell away from the boy's ankle as the sand began to cover him. Before the boy had fully registered, he was dead. A drift creeping up his arm, across his chest, over the hollow of his throat where a jade pendant had hung until the merchant who owned this caravan had ripped it off and thrown it into the dark 3 nights ago. The boy stood there while the wind pushed him, and the sand scoured him, and the dead man at his feet became a mound, a shape under the earth, erased. He had no water, no camel, no direction. The storm had taken the sky and the sun and the distant peaks that had marked the road, and he had only the toggle in his sash, the dried dates, and a dead man's last words. For Mingyur, the ghost gate, Chang'an, he started walking east. He didn't know it was east, but he walked with the wind at his back because that was what the old camel driver said to do when you lost the road. Walk with the wind, and if the wind changed, you died. Simple as a knife. The sand sucked at his feet. Every step a negotiation with the ground, a bargain between his will and the earth's hunger, and he chewed the dates one at a time, letting the sweetness sit on his tongue before swallowing, making each one last. He counted his steps and the breaths between steps until the numbers stopped, meaning anything, and became just sounds in his head, a rhythm to keep him moving. The storm lasted 2 days. On the second night, he found a dead camel. The animal had collapsed, and the sand had half covered it. But the hump was still exposed, and the boy knew what that meant. He didn't have a knife, so he used the sharp edge of the bone toggle to cut into the hump, to reach the fat and water stored there, and he ate it raw, greasy, and warm. And he cried while he ate because the camel had been one of his. One he'd brushed and fed and spoken to in the language of clicks and clucks that only camels understood. He left the toggle bloody and wiped it on his robe. The crescent shape was worn smooth on one side, rough on the other where the carver's knife had left tiny ridges, and he turned it over in his palm. Tracing the characters too small to read in the dark, feeling the grooves with his thumb. For Mingyur. He didn't know who Mingyur was. A daughter. A son. A wife. But the dead man's last breath had been that name. And the boy promised to carry it to Chang'an, to a woman named Madame Jia at a place called the Street of Bronze Bells. He had no idea where Chang'an was, beyond knowing it was east, that it was the capital, the greatest city in the world, with a million people and walls so thick that armies could march on top of them. And he'd heard the merchant who owned him speak of it once in the tone men used when speaking of heaven or a woman they couldn't have. He walked east. The wind changed. He adjusted. The dates ran out. He found a spring, fouled by a dead goat. But he drank anyway and vomited, and drank again and kept the water down the second time. He lost track of days, but the toggle stayed in his sash, pressed against his belly.